made up. If America's going to survive in the future, it's going to have to come back to the policies of legal immigration. If it continues on the trajectory it's on, you can forget about it, people. The country you know and love is going to go away, far away, because it can't survive under these rules of engagement.
Well, the big question on everyone's mind, it's a gender thing, or is it? World peace, religion, sex, money, politics, climate change, big business, big ideas and big egos. Nothing is off limits. As I'm joined by some of the most accomplished and highly opinionated women from the far left, the far right, and the far reaches of the planet. This is Malcolm Out Loud, and you're listening to Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Pleasure.
Our co-host today on Life, Liberty, Jennifer Breeden, is here. She knows a thing or two about this immigration business. She's the president of Breeden Law International. She focuses on legal consulting, international policies, and a special focus on human rights in the Middle East. Dr. Faye Wilson is here. She's an author, inspirational speaker, ordained minister, and underdog advocate. Susan Price, Gold Star mother, patriot, investigative researcher, national voice. She's a veteran advocate, and more than that, she's an advocate for justice. So, ladies, when I talk about this immigration, Jennifer, let's start this conversation off. We could talk about a lot of legal stuff and back and forth, and I'm sure we will on the production today, but I've been studying this for a bit now. This is something I speak about as a radio national commentator and what have you, and, you know, I'll tell you this, Jennifer. There is only one conclusion to this. They don't want to fix the problem. They want to keep this as a political talking point for every damn election. And the entire political structure, this is what they're bent on. They've been trying to fix this problem back since you were in diapers. And they still don't. I mean, what's so complicated, Jennifer? Why can't they fix the problem, right?
Well, exactly. It's like what you said, that it's become a political issue. It's completely a political issue. No side wants to give in. They want more. They want more. They want more. I mean, my goodness, a couple months ago, you saw President Trump and his entire cabinet stating that they would be willing to reinstitute the Dreamer Act, DACA, which is deferred action for child arrivals. These are kids who came here, some as infants. I know one personally came here as an infant. They had no choice in the matter, so they don't even know Spanish. All they know is English and American life, and they had no choice in the matter. And not that that's to say that, you know, they all should be here, okay, whatever, but the ones that are adhering to the laws, the person I know in particular who came here as a baby wants to join the U.S. military, and he can't because of this. And so DACA was just to allow those who are law-abiding citizens a path to citizenship, who have been here, who only know English, and who want to, you know, serve in U.S. forces or have a U.S. job and help the United States. And we had a chance to do that in Congress. The liberal didn't want that. And it's not just, I'm not even going to say the liberals, but the left did not want that because they don't like President Trump. There were even some Republicans, some conservatives who didn't want that because they didn't want President Trump. It all came down to the budget, the tax issues, and all this other stuff. And because everybody didn't get what they wanted, and you know what, that is a mistake. I'm going to say both sides of the aisle, because they didn't get what they want, because they couldn't get the budget provisions, they refused to adhere to one small provision. They want to get all or they want to get nothing. And it's become an all or nothing type of society. You know, we talk about, you know, you're talking about illegal immigration. And I know I've said this on the show. I don't fault you at all, Malcolm. I appreciate the work that you've done on this and talking on this subject. I kind of hate the term, though, illegal immigration, because immigration in and of itself, that one word is a legal term. It's meant to be a legal term. Immigration, it's supposed to denote the fact that if you come here under the immigration program, you are thus coming here legally. And so legal immigration is almost it's almost like a redundant kind of term, whereas illegal immigration, it's almost like to say illegal immigration. And that's how the politicians have turned it around on
us.
Because illegal immigration is almost like saying I was breaking the speed limit by driving the speed limit.
Yeah, it's an oxymoron. Like it's an oxymoron.
It's an oxymoron.
Kind of thing. You're so
but
right.
That's right. How prevalent it's become, is that we have this oxymoron type society. And you know what? I do blame Mexico a little bit. That's the one point I'll ever disagree with you on.
Yeah.
I do blame Mexico, because what are they doing? growing so much that people are flooding over the borders and desperate to leave.
Yeah, but so let's talk about that a quick second, Jennifer. Let's stay on that. I don't blame Mexico at all, because they're just a country that's taking advantage of our crazy laws. I mean, and our policies. So you can't blame a country for doing that. Why should they? So what? I mean, they're doing no different than any country would do. I mean, or anybody would do. They're just taking advantage of our stupid people and politicians is all I'm saying, Jennifer. So you kind of can't, you know, listen, it's like a lot of these, give you an example, Jennifer, like a lot of these trade deals, the president has come in and said he's going to fix the trade deals, which are a mess. And then you say, well, why are these countries doing that? Why? Because they can. Why? Because they're taking advantage of our silly laws. You see, there's only one culprit here, really. It's our political establishment, Jennifer, really. It's you know, it's not the rest of them. It's not China. It's not Russia. It's not. They can only bother us when we let them bother us. Do you follow what I'm saying?
I do. And I do agree with that. I mean, it's like in any workplace. You know, if you're due for a raise, but you never ask about a raise, you're not going to get a raise. Exactly. You got to ask about it. You got to do the right things to do it. I mean, just from an international, you know, I do international human rights. So just from that perspective, I've actually been to Mexico many times and I see the conditions of the people. They're never allowed to save money. They don't even make a salary. They're just given their heat and electric bills are paid for. So, but I do agree that it's on us and we need to stand up. And I think we're already seeing that from the rest of the world. As the United States becomes stronger and says, we're not going to get this, the rest of the world is starting to listen. Yeah. Say, okay, we'll work with you on this.
Why are we treating Mexico border different than we treat the eastern, southeast border with Haitians? I've sat back and I've watched this over the years, Jennifer, Susan, and Malcolm, is that the darker skinned people are treated differently at the border than the lighter skinned people. Now, I'm looking through these brown eyes, just looking at the media, and why is this so? Why in, I can't remember now which president it was, but it was not Mr. Obama, where there was clemency for Mexican people who had come in, and then the Haitians were put back on the boat and sent back. And this was in the same administration. And so a few of my friends and I talked about it, like, why is this? What is this we're seeing? Why are there different rules when it comes to, it appeared to me, to skin color? Now, I know the laws on the book are supposed to be for all, then why aren't all being treated equally?
So you're talking about in the southeast, you're talking about like the Florida area, all of
yeah.
that?
Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
You're talking about the islands, the Caribbean islands, the Dominican Republic, Haiti, and even Cuba, for that matter. They were coming over in rafts, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, for a long time. Yeah, that's another problem of immigration we don't really talk about anymore, because there's a body of water there, but there are other ways to break that through as well. But I think a lot of things to that, and I have a couple of thoughts to it. But Susan, I'd like you to try and answer, if you hear Dr. Fay's question she puts out there, how would you answer that?
Well, first of all, not everybody's involved with politics, but politics is involved in your life somewhere or another, and especially with this, President Bush had put out February 9, 2017, right after he was in office, an executive order enforcing federal laws with respect to transnational criminal organizations and prevention of international trafficking. There are so many cartels involved with this, and be sure George Soros is at the base of it. This is so deep. There's even different church groups involved it goes down to, and let me tie in with Dr. Fay. She's on to something here, because what they're doing is they're using different groups of people for a lot of barbaric acts, rapes, murders, body harvesting. She's on to something. There's, you know, certain specificities for different groups and cartels that
Susan,
are wanting.
So you think, Susan, the darker skin was part of the what Dr. Fay put out there? You think that was one of the culprits here, huh, for that policy?
I do, and all we have to do is look at all the trafficking going on in one of the richest but poorest countries of the world, Africa, one of the richest for natural resources. One being human commodity first, and then their natural resources, but yet those people are kept poor. They can't eat and this and that. So this is by politics, and these are the people, and there's people being paid off. It doesn't matter what side of the aisle, but President Trump is onto this, and he is really working hard behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. And I know, because I know people personally going in and you know, retrieving human beings.
So are we saying I want to definitely want to get Jennifer's input on this, but before I want to ask you, qualify something, Faye and Susan, for me, please. When Faye, when you put that out there like that, what I want to understand is, are we specifically saying the darker the skin, the bigger the problem? And the reason I ask that specifically is because, you know, coming from Mexico, they're also a different color skin. I mean, they're brown versus black versus dark brown versus what, tawny beige? I mean, what the hell's the difference? I mean, I don't understand. They're still lighter. So you're saying lighter, they're brown, so that's brown is okay, so they kind of get a pass, but over there they don't, because is that what you're saying?
That has always been the case. This goes back even to You take the lighter skin African American that has been favored over the darker skin African American. This has always been the situation. No, we cannot be ostriches and put our heads in the sand and say it doesn't exist. It does exist. I'm not a politician. I'm not Wonderful Susan or Jennifer or Malcolm, but I do see. I'm watching this across media. I'm reading in the newspapers or whatever, and I am saying something in my gut, in my heart, something is wrong with this picture. I know human trafficking is not new. African Americans have been trafficked for many, many, many years until somebody stood up to take a stand. And I really believe that it has to come a time when some president, some elected official, and the people will get together on one accord and put an end to this madness, because there can't be the same set of laws enforced in different ways. That's what I need to say. Well, the same set of laws, but enforced according to this color of your skin.
All right. Well, it certainly is. Wow. I mean, it's a very interesting thing you put out there as far as part of that immigration dilemma. Let's do this, people. So we're going to get Jennifer to chime in right after the pause here and do that. But there are a lot of sectors to this immigration crisis and problem we're having. And our job here is to bring them in daylight. We want to bring them from the crevices of, you know, the nonsense, and bring them to daylight so you can determine yourself what's really going on here. And I think there are a lot of factors involved that we need to be talking about. And that's what we'll do today on Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Pleasure. We'll be right back in just a moment. The goal is to deliver a message of truth, inspiration, and hope to the world, to unite people from all backgrounds and beliefs in an effort to advance humanity. News blogs, informative podcasts, and entertaining videos. It's AmericaOutloud.com, where the conversation never ends, with 24/7 streaming on our free apps on both Android and Apple. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio. Okay, friends, we're back here. Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Pleasure, Season 2. We are on today with Dr. Faye Wilson, Susan Price, Jennifer Breeden is here. Pretty big topic, pretty heavy conversation. We're talking about immigration on the border and what that really means. And let me tell you, this impacts everybody, every single person. Doesn't matter where you live geographically, but you're impacted by this, people. It's going to impact your quality of life. It's going to impact the economic conditions. It's going to impact the resources that are available. And it could impact your life, whether you live or die, when you consider the gangs, when you consider the terrorists, when you consider the evil people that are trying to get into this country to do harm. And that's a whole nother conversation, friends.
So Dr. Fay puts out the real interesting quandary, if you will, in that why is it that the Haitians and the others in the Southeast that were coming from some of the poorer islands weren't treated quite as favorable, if you will, and were returned rather than some from the left, and where they can seek asylum from the left part of the country, the West, being Mexico, where the current problem is the status of immigration chaos, if you will, with caravans coming in from Central America and so on and so forth. And she puts out that she thinks it's the color of the skin, that the darker the skin, the bigger the problem. Susan Price says that she absolutely agrees with that, that there's something to that, and that she totally agrees with that. Jennifer, I'm curious now from your, your as a patriot, a political legal mind, what do you think about those comments? Do you subscribe to that? Do you have a different way of looking at it?
I do, but from a more factual standpoint, and a point that there is certainly a lack of human rights preferences. And so I'm going to put that just out there with my upbringing. I was raised actually in Miami, Florida, and I do remember we had huge Haitian population because there was. So whenever the government institutes and for immigration purposes, an asylum policy or say a several years policy for allowing a certain population to come in, there's always an end date on that. It's maybe a 5-year period or a 10-year period where people from this country of this ethnicity can come in because of some being certain that the government thought, posed a risk for them or posed a humanitarian crisis. So we had that, of course, for Cuba for many years, which is why there's so many Cubans in Miami, because there was a Cuban immigration policy that made it easier for them, those who came over on rafts. There was the same thing put for Haitians for a much lesser period of time in Miami. And I know I talked to many, I had many Haitian friends and families there who explained that it was easier, but that program ended. The problem where I see it coming in, and I can touch on the race thing in a minute, is obviously the tragedies, the tragedies from humanitarian disasters, from hurricanes, from earthquakes that have hit Haiti, and that program has not been reinstituted. That program has not been reinstituted to allow people to leave from these disaster zones. Now, that being said, there are disaster zone immigration policies that do come into place, but how are these people in Haiti who have lost everything going to know that? I mean, my goodness, I'm an attorney. I study law right outside of Washington, D.C. I have read every facet of international law, and I still have a hard time looking up some of the immigration loopholes. That's how complex the system is and how ridiculous it is. Just the sheer volume of trying to understand the translations for people that don't even speak the language, let alone those who have lost absolutely everything, such as those in Haiti, with these humanitarian disasters. And so I say if there are neighbors, which the Haitians are, we either need to be providing them some sort of assistance to get their country back together, or we need to reinstitute that policy, even if it's for a temporary place. Hey, your family can come live safely here in our country, and we're going to help get your country fixed. We're going to work with organizations that do that, because that is what the United States does. And there is a duty on powerful countries to make sure that countries nearby to them, or to make sure that they can help with these crises and these catastrophes that have happened, because that's how you're going to get illegal migration coming in, is when people have absolutely nothing where they are and they're desperate to flee, even if that means they're going to die, because Haitians are taking boats and finding other ways in, just like the Cubans did. And so I think that is something. Now, that being said, on the factual side in regards to race, I think, we've definitely seen we see less numbers of Caucasian looking individuals wanting to come in to the United States, wanting to come stay here illegally. And that actually does include, Caucasians. I mean, we just think about that, but generic looking Caucasians that would be of North American brand. But I think there is something to be said to that, because when I look at the numbers, technically there are many Middle Easterners. I'm talking Syrians, Iranians, who look like North Americans. They're Caucasian in skin. We think everybody looks dark brown as an Arab. Absolutely not. They're Caucasian. They're from the Caucasus, the Central Asia region. And some sometimes they can look like us. So it's problematic if we are turning away more dark colored skin individuals, because in, you know, a lot of the poor Mexican families and even the Haitians, they were just trying to provide for their families, working at laundromats or cleaning. They have nothing to do with radical Islam. So if we're turning them away more than we are, say, a Syrian family or an Iranian family that may have ties, not even a family, a young male that's single that may have ties to radicals or have a greater propensity for ties. If we're turning away darker color skin in favor of a lighter color skin just because that seems safer, that's a huge problem, especially if we're turning a blind eye to those who may actually viably have ties to radicals.
Wow.
We have George Soros, who's the enemy from within, who is not an American. He hates America and everything about it. And he's over there funding these groups, these Catholic groups. See, George Soros is a liaison for the Vatican. And the Black Pope is running this show. The Black Pope puts out the order. George Soros gets paid. He pays these people in the political realm. The volunteers of the Catholic Legal Immigration Network, American Immigration Council, Refugee and Immigrant Center for Education and Legal Services, and American Immigration Lawyers Association are collectively known as CARA, C-A-R-A. They joined forces in response to Immigration and Customs Enforcement, ICE, significant expansion of its family detention capacity. Now, if people wanted to human traffic on Americans, you know, so many could only be missing. So they bring in, they allow all these different groups. They pay for these things. They pay for these caravans to come over and all this chaos and disorder. Then they're working with the churches. And something disturbing, when I came back to Buffalo last year, I said, why are the Black Lives Matter in with the Catholic Church, their headquarters? Something's off here. And so with a little research and investigation, I know now, because it's Soros funded. The Catholic Church and some of the other churches, regardless of, you know, Protestant or Methodist or Lutheran, whatever, they're all involved. And it all goes back to the Vatican. And I know it is so hard to believe, but it's true. There's so much proof. It's all starting to come out now. And there's more going to come out in the months to follow. So I just wanted to get away from the legal end and go to the sinister end of what's going on and these global puppets and these people that are tied in the Democratic and Republican Party that are all thieves in the night. They're taking our most precious commodity, which is the human soul. And God only knows. We know what they're doing with them.
Yeah.
Well, and I want to take it a little bit further with what Susan was saying too, with the United Nations. And so all, if you want to go towards refugees, because we're talking about immigrations. So all refugees ever from the history of time, for any kind of situation comes through the United Nations. Even though we say we have our own policies, which every country does, it all comes through the United Nations. And in America, that that UN refugee or migration policy is actually headed by. It's headed by about, I think, 6 or 7 organizations, a few of which Susan just mentioned. And so they work specifically with the United Nations. And they're the ones that determine, one, where these people go, whether they come in, and then how they're going to live. And so when we talk about, oh, they set up an enclave in this one part of America and that's where they're living, that's because that's where they were placed. They didn't have, you know, a map of the U.S. or know anything. That's because these organizations placed them there specifically and said, you will live in this enclave and make it that way.
Do you know that the Vatican created the United Nations? Did you know that?
I did not.
And did you know that there's a woman that has worked in the Obama administration as the head of DHS at one particular time? And they used Janet Napolitano as a front, but it was not her. Then this woman was moved to cybersecurity, and hence the tie in with Schmidt there for all the stuff going on with Google. Then this woman is now in charge of the United Nations trafficking and working with African children to protect them. Give me a break. And nobody's caught on to this woman who's married to an American four-star general. And it's upon information and belief that she's of the paperclip, you know, that Project Paperclip, which is the communist rule. And there's so many of them in the deep state, and they're a revolving door. And it's military political because they all work in the military and then morph themselves into political arenas. And so I've been following these people down for like 9 years now. So it's just unbelievable the crimes you're getting away with. They've been reported and we're watching, and hopefully they will be, you know, held in military tribunals.
Wow.
And that's to be coming. Yeah, I've been working behind the scenes on some of this stuff. So that's how I know. Yeah.
When it comes to children and immigration and protecting children, all children, regardless of where they come from, the little that I did read about this, the border controls and everything that the Department of Justice is doing, as well as what goes on in Africa, which I've tracked that for a couple of decades now, that children are being sold, have been sold from different villages, especially street children. They don't belong to anybody. So they're a free-for-all group. And we wondered, I listened to you, Susan, we wondered what happened to those children that are being sold. Where do they end up? Where do they go? Because there's no tracer, there's no tracker for them. As we would have Amber Alerts or whatever here in this country, we don't have that in those in undeveloped countries. My heart goes out to all of the children that are being held. What's happening to them now, whether in Mexico or wherever? But primarily because we've been focusing just on that particular border, as if we don't have other borders to be concerned about. We've been focusing on that one, and it has been in the media more than any other. And I think one thing we have to be aware of is while we're focusing in one place, because the devil, while we're focusing on one thing, we need to be aware of what may be going on in other areas as well. And our children, what's happening, and I know, Jennifer, you're involved with that and certainly know the law on this, but how are children being protected? I read about the organization Kind Kids in Need of Defense that was focusing on providing services for these children and protecting those who came in that did not have parents, the ages of 13 to 18, I believe, was the majority of children. And not all of them were in gangs, though the media continues to say gangs, people who commit crime. Not all of these kids are criminals.
Mm-mm, no.
So what are we doing on these borders to protect our children and to make sure that they're safe, whether or not we grant them asylum, is it called, or are we sending them back without parents? What are we doing?
Because exactly. The enemy is within, and they're hiding from within. And the enemies that are doing this are the people that were Two Faces. And there's not too many people that are analyzing the situation. So we have to, we have to get these people out of there. We have to put the light on them and go after them and take them down, you know. And you have to know who they are first.
I know, but what is the government, our government, the U.S.? There has to be an answer here. What is the United States Department of Justice, Donald Trump, that administration, doing to protect children?
Dr. Fay, he's working on all this. I tell you, he is.
I know it, but today
executive orders. There's mercenaries going in after these people. I have friends that are mercenaries, Marines and Navy SEALs, and this is what they do. They leave their families, and they have this mission. And they're going in and rescuing. Last week in Los Angeles, they rescued 80. This week, they're in Texas, and they're going to the underground tunnels and everything. Believe me, Trump is one man, and in 1 year, he's done more than Obama's done in 8 years. And
I'm not questioning any of that. But here is a child today. Here's a child who is caught in a caravan or crossing the border What do we do with that child? What are we doing?
Well, let's not forget, and I want to bring this up real quick, that especially through the Arkansas and different areas of the United States, we have these judges and these attorneys that are working for the other side, the bad side. And these people are tied in with the Bush and Clinton cartels for years now, for 30 years and plus. And so they have their own set of rules. They take their children that are being raped by the fathers and giving them back to the fathers when the mother's trying to protect them. And these, we have to get the names of, I'm working on that too with some families behind the scenes. And getting this information out to people like Judge Jeanine and others that will get this out to the light. We have to, it's so deep rooted, and this war is on many, many levels. It truly is. It's unbelievable.
And to Dr. Fay's point, too, because I love hearing the truth from Susan and from Dr. Fay here, and of course from Malcolm, it's to Dr. Fay's point, you just in a practical sense, as well, it's, that's what DACA was talking about. And so we were talking a little bit about the Dreamers Act or DACA, and these are child arrivals, children that had literally no choice in the matter. I mean, we're talking young children who came here, mm-hmm. their families brought them here. Mm-hmm. And then they're here. Sometimes their families might be gone. We actually have centers set up in different states for some of these children who never met up with their families when they were supposed to. And they're just there completely alone in these mm-hmm. centers that we're funding. And, mm-hmm. and like some of them, like the young man I know and many others, don't even speak the language where they came from because they were raised learning English. And mm-hmm. And so it's and that's all that this is life is the only one they've known. So on the one hand, it is up to local authorities. So Susan's saying some of them, Susan has the evidence that some of them are in bed with the other side, but there's some local authorities that aren't. And it's really because we have no federal government system to handle this or to protect children. Yeah. It's up to the mercy of the local authorities to say, do we want to deport these kids or just ignore them for now? And that's kind of what's happening throughout the United States. But I mean, to the point that we were coming back to on the tax issues, DACA, Dreamer Act, everybody gave, Obama credit for that. And he did prolong it. But the only thing that the Dreamer Act had then, or that DACA had, the child arrivals, was that you could get a couple years of permanent green card status, just a couple years. It was temporary, but we weren't going to, deport you right away. So you could get some legal status for a few years and then figure out what to do after that. What Trump's administration proposed was actually a path to citizenship for those that were law abiding citizens, children that have been here. And it was a 10-year path to citizenship where in that 10 years, they'd be completely legal if they followed all the laws, if they seemed to be, taking on a job that was beneficial to society, not breaking any U.S. laws, in 10 years, they would be United States citizens. I mean, that's mm-hmm. more than anybody's offered for these children. And during the right. whole budget talks and everything, that completely fell apart. And the media was silent yep. on it. We were about to give these yep. people, these children, a chance to citizenship. Mm-hmm. And it totally fell apart. And I want to know what happened, for one. Because I can't get
the
answers.
Media is a part of it. Right, so, they're a part of the problem. Right,
so does that answer your question, Dr. Fay, that Jennifer just put out there?
Yes, so she has a question, too, about what happened,
Yeah.
So she has
a
question.
I want my question answered.
Her question is asking what happened with the government, but she answered the question back that you asked. Yeah, but what she's referencing is what I started this conversation with, Dr. Fay. And I told mm-hmm. you when we opened up in my opening comments who the culprit was, right? We already got, and the reason I opened it up with that, because I wanted you all to know right up front who, I knew we were going to go with this. I mean, I didn't know where the conversation would be, but it's very clear who the culprit is on this. So, it brings mm-hmm. me back to the saying, friends, when they say, what is the real role of government? It's to keep the people divided. Now, that, Dr. Fay, better mm-hmm. than anyone, because you and I talk about that all the time, right?
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
to keep the people divided. So that if that's their role, they're doing a hell of a job with that, to keep the people divided. So when you look at all of these issues we're talking about, it really is to keep the people divided. And Jennifer, to your point right now, and what the president put out there in regards to DACA was huge. This was a game changer, Jennifer. You're so right. This was significant. And as you just said, and as Susan, you just said, where was the media in this? Well, the media was complicit, as they always are, because that does not fill their agenda.
Their agenda is one that is not law and order, and you know, they're against everything.
Right.
They're against our military. They're against our law enforcement. They're against our border protection. They're against our security. They're against our safety. I mean, people, just do the math. You know, do the math.
And I love this, Malcolm, because we're talking about this immigration issue. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there have been those times where I make the mistake of thinking, gosh, am I just smarter than the government? But no, it's because the solution is actually very simple. And so either they are that dumb, just that dumb, or there is some other hand at play here. Because even when it comes to terrorism and things like this, our greatest assets could be those who have escaped the Middle East from terrorists and truly do want to help. I mean, I can't tell you how many people I talk to in other countries in the Middle East that say, we could help you find these guys. You could vet them in 2 seconds. But not only do we not seem to have the personnel in the government to properly vet people and to know when we can utilize new allies in an actual fight to protect Americans and those who can come here, we don't want to learn how to do it. We don't want to learn how to vet them. We don't want to learn how to train them. We don't want to learn how to find people who will be incredible American patriots.
Jennifer, as I told you up front when we started this season that you needed to run for president of the United States. Remember I said that to you, love? You know, there we are.
You did say that. You did. It's
more
than
once.
Sometimes.
More than once, love. But, and I've said that multiple times, and you, of course, you've come back every time you say, well, I can, but I would need all the women to be with us and on the cabinet to work. It's been your statement back. But obviously, and to answer your question that you just put out there, you know, I wondered before you said if I was smarter than them or if I just, and then, of course, we talk about the nefarious deeds of the government. And actually, it's yes on both counts. Yes, you are smarter than them, number one. And number two, they have nefarious means. That's how they're running this thing. And again, they want to keep the people divided. It really is all about political power. Now, in the times, you know, Dr. Faye, that you've met me, that we've known each other now, and we've covered so much ground in our short interim of, you know, really getting to know each other. And you know, it's funny because there are times when we feel like we've known each other for a whole lifetime here because we're that symbiotic, you know, in our thinking and talking points, which is why we're so comfortable with all of it. But, you know, it's amazing, Dr. Faye, because we're seeing things that others are not clearly, they see them, but they don't want to admit them and they don't want to put them out there, which is really why we are such a voice of truth and what comes out of this. Well, listen, I want to take just a moment and remind all of our listeners here that this season has been absolutely incredible. It has surpassed my expectations by far. When you hear the voices of Jennifer Breeden and Dr. Faye Wilson and Susan Price and all of the other amazing, terrific women who are on this production, my friends, we haven't missed a beat. We haven't lost a beat. Everybody has been so committed to this conversation and excited. And I just, you have to realize what's happening here and what this program has meant. So I want to take the liberty right now and tell you all that in like everything, we rise and we have to have a conclusion to some of the conversation. Our season finale, I want to announce to you all right now, will be on Wednesday, May 30th. Wednesday, May 30th will be the last call for season two, Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Pleasure. Now, many of the people you've heard on this show and many of them are superstars and have become that, and a good many of them will probably go on further with the platform because that's what happened in season one. Many of the women are just incredible. They all are, and they've become part of really this platform and this movement. But we're planning to do something more with Life, Liberty, too, and really to engage the conversation, to empower women, which is really the ultimate motive of a lot of this conversation. Yeah, we've had some fun. We've talked about some things and laughed along the way, but we've had some very serious conversation, too. If you look back and you go to the show page on Life, Liberty, season two on AmericaOutloud.com, you'll see the conversations are absolutely amazing. We've covered some ground here. We've done some heavy lifting. We've talked about some things that other people are not talking about. So again, I want to invite you to, number one, stay with us through now, through the season finale, but also tell your friends, tell your family, your others out there, share this. Share it with the world and share it with your world. We appreciate it, but tell people the magnificent part of this show. Do one other thing for me, please. Go to Apple, iTunes, or you can go to Google Play or any of the podcast networks. Once this is on talk radio, it goes to podcast shortly thereafter. several days after, and subscribe on a podcast. Go and subscribe, rate and review on podcast. Just go to the Apple iTunes and you can leave a review there or rate the show. We appreciate you give us 5 stars if you think we're worthy of that. We appreciate that very much, and do that as we continue on. Now, season 3 will start up later in this year. It will be in the early part of November. We know the target date already, but we'll be starting it right then. And actually, I can tell you right now, it's Friday, November 2nd is when season 3 starts again. Season 2 will run in its entirety again. Once we end this, will be 100 shows. 100 shows! Wow. And that's what we did in season 1. Season 2 is the same. And we now are talking to amazing women from around the globe and going through a whole qualifying process to qualify the next group of extraordinary women who will be part of this platform, part of this conversation as we move forward. One other footnote I want to tell you about right now, Linda Martinelli, who you know, you hear her voice all the time on America Out Loud, and clearly she's a weekly columnist, and you hear her on Life Liberty here. Her and her husband, Dr. Ron Martinelli, who's a forensic criminologist, brilliant, brilliant couple, they have a brand new show on America Out Loud, and get a load of this, people. It's called Talking While Married. I mean, you know, not something everybody can do really well, right? It's like walking and chewing gum at the same time, ladies, right? You can't always do that well. And talking and married is one of those things. But anyways, so it's really very, very clever, the show is. And it's amazing. 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time every evening, you'll find them there. But it's really clever. They're having a cup of coffee through the evening, talking about the world, politics, society, cultural. It's just a cool conversation. I love the way they do it, that the opening is very clever. When they go to break, they have a cup of coffee instead of going to break. So they're having a conversation as a husband and wife would, but as two concerned patriots and citizens of the country. I think you'll enjoy the show. Support them, of course. They're again, part of our law enforcement community. They both have a background in that, and they're amazing people. Linda, of course, as you know, is a co-host here on Life Liberty. So again, that's a brand new show here. We have other exciting things happening here in the weeks ahead here. We have another show coming up in the next week or two, Chasing Justice, with another very interesting police lieutenant. I think you'll enjoy that as well. A lot happening here, friends, on America Out Loud. A lot going on this platform. And we're just excited to have the voices out there and have the growth of the platform. And we're on it, my friends. We'll continue to stay on it. We thank you for being here and being part of this conversation here. Now, stay right there. We'll continue on with this really amazing conversation here where we're unveiling some very interesting things about immigration. We'll come back and nail it all back down for you, friends.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa. Award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
All right, my friends, we're back here on Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Pleasure, and we're here with Jennifer Breeden, Dr. Faye Wilson, Susan Price, and we're talking about immigration on the border, and we had some really, really interesting conversations here, and how can you not when you have Susan, Dr. Faye, and Jennifer on here? I mean, you're getting different perspectives, but you're also getting a lot of the problems we're having. And again, the conclusion is, we told you the conclusion up front, the culprit in all of this is Congress. It's the fact that they're not solving the problem. They don't seem to want to solve the problem. And again, as I say, Dr. Faye, all the time, keep the people divided. Keep the people divided. This is how you do it in the political world. Mm-hmm. And this way here, you feel empowered and you can make yourself, well, I don't know how they live with themselves. I really don't know.
But, you know, there's a lot of things you could say about that statement, but keeping it in the immigration field, which is where we're at today. Listen, we have your question in Dr. Fay, why all these borders, or why we're not protecting and taking it serious, the rest, all of the borders. And I've been listening to you all very much, and I am very concerned with our northern border. And, you know, I've stated before, Jennifer, you've heard me talk about this, but I think we've got some real problems on the northern border as well. We don't have a camera there and a mic and not a spotlight because we think, you know, yeah, Canada's our friends. And so why are you saying that, Malcolm? Why? Well, why am I saying that? I mean, we've had plenty of experiments, as you know, you've seen them as well, Jennifer, where the Veritas Project has proved what's happening on the northern border. Mm-hmm. Okay. I mean, these criminals are getting in, and they're easier to get into Canada. Again, when you've got, you know, when you've got the leadership in Canada that is so far to the left, right, they can't see straight. Their policies there are totally, yeah, bring it in. Yeah, we love it all. Terrorists, yeah, bring them all in. We love everybody, sure. Well, they're going to have a lot more problems our northern friends are going to have, sadly, ahead because of their laxed policies. And their things about bringing all the refugees in and all of this, well, you invite trouble, you invite a hornet's nest in. And one thing I'll tell you, ladies, is hornets sting. And they sometimes hurt like hell as well, by the way, okay? So you want to open up and invite the hornets, and that's what you get. But the Veritas Project and other organizations have proven once and many times over that the cats are coming in. And they've experimented with it by putting masks over their heads and coming in through boats and walking right into the museums up in the Lake Michigan area, or all through that area. So yeah, the northern border's a problem as well. It's all a problem. I'm worried about, again, terrorist activity, gangs, violence, human trafficking. I'm worried about all of that stuff. I'm worried about the sanctity and safety of this country. You know, that's what I'm worried about. But no, I don't think they're treating it all equal. I think it's just politically expedient, and that's why they're down there on the southwest border right now. And of course, it's part of it's the fight with California and the fight that we're having with California, which is off the charts. And, you know, talk about another country, Jennifer. It's like dealing with a third world country out there on the West Coast sometimes, you know, the way their mentality is, huh?
Mm-hmm. And everything you're saying is completely true. And, you know, to Susan and to Dr. Fay's point about, you know, it seems to almost be a race issue and everything like that. I mean, we are giving so much attention to Mexico, but the Canadian border is more dangerous right now. And it is bigger. Mm-hmm. It's three times the size.
That's right.
And it takes all of us. And there are so many openings and entrances. You talked about the one on Lake Michigan. Yeah. That's one that goes right into Michigan to Detroit area, but it goes right to the northern parts of Michigan. The other one is the Rainbow Bridge right up there in northern New York, mm-hmm, up to Niagara Falls. I mean, that's a tourist attraction. That's right near Susan. And so many, we know back in the early 1990s, a group affiliated with a radical jihadist cleric was all caught going through the Rainbow Bridge. Actually, they made it all the way down to New York.
See?
And until they were caught in the car, and that's where they came through. But look what happened in Canada. Canada has got so bad. They've actually passed a resolution and a law that criminalizes that people are not allowed to say anything bad about Islam, not just hate speech in general.
Exactly.
They're just not allowed to say Islamophobia. They actually had a terrorist attack in Toronto. Where did that go on the media? They quashed it completely. Mm-hmm. They made it mental health.
Well, their prime minister, Jennifer, looked like a buffoon. He looked like a nut job. Did you see him talking on the camera? The you know, Trudeau?
Absolutely. He went crazy.
I mean,
he's a communist.
He's something. And Jennifer, talk a minute about, you know, in case folks don't know, tell them about what's in Dearborn, Michigan. You talk about Michigan and the Detroit area.
Yeah.
And what about the Dearborn, Michigan area? You understand what I'm talking about?
Yes, the Dearborn, Michigan area, it's another one of those that we were talking about that's become an enclave for radicals. I mean, these are fundamentalist Islamists that are living there in Dearborn. I know so many people. I mean, now I just moved up to Wisconsin, so I'm right next to Michigan here. We talk about, oh, you don't even go there because it's just an Islamist Sharia community there. And then when you find out that one of the borders to Canada that's it's barely guarded at all. One of my Canadian Uber drivers, when I was traveling up there, kind of made a joke about it. He doesn't seem to care. He was like, oh, yeah, I can just go there on the weekend and just go right on down into Michigan. I'm like, that's how easy it is. There's barely any presence there guarding anything. And that's where they're all gathering. And there's a lot of stuff that's happened there, but people are just getting away for now. And so it's about, you know, enabling and gathering that strength as opposed to good law-abiding American-minded Muslims who want to integrate into society, who want to live in American neighborhoods, who want their children to go to schools. Look for the ones that have no desire to do that, who don't even want to talk to an American, who want to build their own enclaves. That's what's happening in Dearborn, Michigan.
Yeah, it's a problem.
And in Canada, yeah. All throughout Canada
is a major. No one's talking about it, Jennifer. But let me tell you now, I talk about it, and it's a fear of mine all the time. And again, I'm an optimist, Jennifer. I'm not a fearmonger at all. That's not me. I'm not a conspiracy lunatic. I'm not an Alex Jones kind of guy. I'm a patriot who believes in people and human rights and an optimist. But I do fear the problem and the lack of attention that's being paid to our northern border is going to come back to haunt us very sadly. You know, I'm going to tell you, ladies, there's a lot of problems ahead that we're going to have. We're only in the tip of the iceberg now. And there's going to be a price to pay for all this, Susan. It's not going to stop here. I mean, there's a price to pay for all this. And when you keep saying it's coming, it's coming, it's coming, I don't believe it's all coming, Susan. I don't agree with you at all. I know you keep telling me that, but I don't buy it anymore. I don't buy it because let me just say this, Susan, then you can opine. I think the politicians are that they define the word complicit. They define keep the people divided. They define all of this. So I think there are a lot of limitations in this. And I think basically at this point, being an optimist, Miss Susan Price, I'm going to tell you, I think we're screwed.
Well, I'm not talking about the politicians.
No, you're talking about Trump.
The new sheriff in town.
Yeah, the sheriff. I get it, the sheriff.
Yeah, and he's only been in office, you know, a year and a couple months. So give the man some room.
Oh, I'm giving him plenty of room, love. Not a problem for me.
But, you know, I'm one or two people away from what's going on within. I have a better knowledge, let's say, of what's going on with that than a lot of people on this call that actually are in the field working and doing so. And I talk with them because, you know, I'm helping out in my little way that I can make.
Well, you're doing
a
lot of work out there. And your writings show that, and your columns are brilliant and all that. But, you know, Dr. Fay, I want to tell you, you hear Susan say that, and she's very optimistic about all of this, what's going to happen ahead. And I get that. And I understand that. But I think, again, I think the problems are they're not going away. And right now, the entire media platform and the entire political spectrum, what they're concentrated on and focused on is Stormy Daniels, the porn star, the slut, the hoe.
All her stuff came out when her national tour started, though. I mean, that's what I'm going to say. All this stuff about her coming out and talking about Trump and everything, it was when her national tour started. She had a tour, you know, one of her stripping tours. And it started, it wasn't going very well, and now it's a sold-out event everywhere.
Exactly. She's got a lot of publicity, and she defines the word whore. That's all I'm saying. Her and her attorney is also a whore and a pimp, Avenatti. The Avenatti.
Well, what is it? What has the media, what has this country come to when we glorify and make heroic somebody like her, somebody that has chosen her lifestyle? We make her a hero, and then our same media turns around and backstabs and talks poorly about Melania Trump, a woman who legally migrated here, who is a legal immigrant, and who speaks five languages fluently and is a very classy woman. I mean, that's the person we demonize while we glorify somebody like Stormy Daniels. There's something wrong in our country. There's something wrong in our media. Absolutely.
It is. And of course, Stormy has been on, I've seen reports in the last day or two. She's been on CNN. They've given her like 60 appearances, 59 or 60 appearances in the last couple of months.
We glorify her. And we're watching it.
She's on there 24/7. Yeah, I don't watch the crap. I'm so over her.
Well, the whenever media is our enemy.
Whenever she, yeah, it's true, Susan. The media, whenever she comes on, the two people I turn off immediately, or three, actually, Stormy Daniels and her attorney, Avenatti, and then Hillary Clinton. Whenever they talk, I don't even want to hear what they have to say. I turn it off. I have no desire to hear whether she's lost in the woods or describing how she lost the election again, which was just yesterday. I don't even want to hear what these people have to say anymore. It's unintelligent. Right. They're uninformed, and it doesn't matter. And the media gives it out there because it's a distraction to what really matters and what ails us. That's all it is distraction. It's all entertainment for them. That's what it is. So, Dr. Fay, you have the last word. Go ahead.
Well, I'm not going to give that conversation my voice, but I will give this my voice. The children, I'm back on the children because my heart won't let me leave them, that are at the borders, that we need to be concerned as to how the government is handling our children without parents, without supervision. Many of them are selling out. If they didn't cross in a gang, they're now selling out to a gang for safety, or they're being prostituted out, or they're being sold out. And so we need to be concerned about that as Americans. And forget about them being Mexicans, forget about them being whatever, but think about them as children, innocent children with no parenting. What is going on with these babies? Someone should be accountable.
Well, yeah, sure, sure. But again, why don't you call your representative, your senator and congressman in Washington?
All right. I do. I knock on doors, and I encourage everybody to do that because we have to be concerned about children across the board. I am so glad we did this show. And let me tell you, the conversations we've had here today, they're not being had. I have wanted to talk about this discrepancy for a very long time. And today I was given a place to share my thoughts about Haiti, this color line, this discrepancy that we have in the implementation of our border laws.
Well, and there's something more we need to do with it. We need to talk more about it clearly. And within the children, I think it is a big, and potentially we need to have another discussion on this, Dr. Fay. When you talk about staying specifically in the talk about the children, I think that's an interesting talk to have, actually. You know, Jennifer, within the confines of the children. Yeah, yeah.
I want to say this just real quickly, Malcolm. Just real quickly, I'm sorry, but I wanted to say, and I know we've talked about this on the show before, but every single person in the United States of America that's listening to the show, that cares about what's happening to these children, things like that, needs to call up their congressional representative. You can find their phone number online. It is free to do that, because there is an unwritten rule that in Congress, if they get 50 constituent calls, that's 50 of their constituents, if they call, they have to bring that issue. So if you get 1,000 people calling their congressman saying, hey, what happened to this 10-year path to citizenship, legal citizenship? I want to see it happen for these children to make sure they're following the laws, giving them incentive to follow the laws and to become an American. Yeah. If we have the people listening to this program doing that, they will bring it to the floor and they will have to answer.
Well, that's well said, Jennifer. Thanks so much for adding that in. And what, Jennifer, what you're saying is, which I just love, is it's called We the People. You see, we the people. And that's what Jennifer really is. It's we the people. So you have to take it back and you have to have action and you have to hold them accountable and you can't let them divide us any further. And people, that's what this is about. This is not a real complicated message. And when Jennifer says, well, you know, sometimes I question, am I smarter than them? The answer is yes. And sometimes, well, are they up to bad deals? The answer is yes. And are they buffoons? And the answer is yes. And you get it, people. There's a whole lot of answers there. But again, it comes back to all roads lead to Congress. They lead to Washington, D.C. That's where legislation happens. It's not the President of the United States, not the Supreme Court. It's Congress, people, Congress. The cats that you elect in there as your representatives, these are the people that you need to get to. These are the ones who need to get an immigration policy. These are the ones that need to protect the children that you're talking about, which is nothing wrong with that, Dr. Fay. And that's a very beautiful, righteous thing to say. Protect the children. Where are the children? I get that. It's a conversation that needs to be had, and we're only starting with that conversation here again. Friends, thank you for being part of Life Liberty here today. Again, our season finale, again, remember Wednesday, May 30th, we'll be there. Stay with us till we have some very interesting dynamic conversations ahead. We invite you in, and please share this with your family, your friends. Get our apps on Android or Apple, listening to us every day, and thank you again for being here and part of this journey and being part of this conversation. Here at America Out Loud, Jennifer Breeden, Dr. Fay Wilson, Susan Price. This is Malcolm Out Loud, to be continued, friends.